of a terrorist Venezuelan gang carrying drugs bound for the U.S.
Interdiction doesn't work because these drug cartels, what they do is they know they're going to lose, 2% of their cargo. They bake it into their economics. What will stop them is when you blow them up, when you get rid of them.
Rubio says the boat hit yesterday was in international waters. Venezuela's leader accuses the Trump administration of plotting to oust him with a buildup of U.S. forces in the region. A fentanyl-related federal takedown.
Operation Box Cutter in the Southern District of Ohio leads to indictments and sanctions of 4 Chinese pharmaceutical companies, 22 Chinese nationals, and 3 defendants here in the U.S., accused in a scheme to promote, sell, and distribute cutting agents, including synthetic opioids, to increase yields and the potency of fentanyl for distribution.
Unless you track down every single person and business and entity and flow of money involved in it, you will never break the wheel. We are here today to break the wheel of fentanyl trafficking.
FBI Director Kash Patel, overdoses from synthetic opioids like fentanyl, now the leading killer of young Americans from 18 to 45.
Fox's Jeff Benasso. President Trump suggesting again he'll soon expand the federal crime crackdown in D.C.
We have a great thing going. I could do that with Chicago. We could do that with New York. We could do it with Los Angeles. So we're making a determination now. Do we go to Chicago or do we go to a place like New Orleans?
Also, again, criticizing Democratic city and state leaders critical of military intervention. Florida health officials launching an effort to scrap childhood vaccine mandates, arguing it's about personal choice. Some changes would need legislative approval. America is listening to Fox News.
All right, let me tell you about Relief Factor. Some people talk about getting their life back like it's a cliche, but if you've lived with pain, real daily, unrelenting pain, you know it's not just a phrase. It's a goal. It's a milestone. Sometimes a desperate prayer. You start making trade-offs without even realizing it. Maybe you stay home instead of going out. Maybe you pass on a family trip because you're not sure you can handle the walking. Maybe you just start shrinking the size of your daily plans a little bit at a time. But what if there was a way to push back just a little bit? Relief Factor. It's not magic. It's science backed by doctors. Designed to target the underlying inflammation that causes so much of our pain. It is a daily supplement that helps your body do what it was made to do, heal, move, and live. With consistency, patience, and a little hope, Relief Factor could be a step forward in taking back more than just your mobility. It could allow you to take back you. So give their 3-week quick start a try for only $19.95. Try it for 3 weeks. Visit ReliefFactor.com. Take it as directed. 1-800-4-RELIEF.
Democrats in Congress say they plan to succeed where they say Republicans have failed in lowering housing costs.
As the Trump administration mulls over declaring a national housing crisis, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says that's not in line with what the president promised.
That they would lower housing costs and the cost of living on day one. They have failed. They haven't even tried.
Jeffries said the Democrats will take an all-hands-on-deck approach to lowering costs. California Congressman Jimmy Gomez says that means addressing several contributing factors.
From building more homes to protecting renters to combating homelessness.
Democrats put blame for the high costs on the One Big Beautiful Bill, which President Trump said this week he wants rebranded to focus on middle-class tax cuts he says it offers. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
The president blames higher housing costs, including mortgage rates, in part on the Fed as he keeps pushing for a rate cut. 2 hurricanes churning in the Pacific and intensifying.
Hurricane Lorena is off the west coast of Mexico's Baja California Peninsula, expected to get stronger over the next day. There's a tropical storm warning in effect and up to 15 inches of rain in the forecast in some places, with a risk of flash flooding and mudslides, especially in higher terrain. There could be some heavy rain from the storm across parts of the U.S. southwest Thursday night into the weekend. Hurricane Kiko, meantime, is still out there over open water in the Pacific, getting stronger, moving in the general direction of Hawaii. Effects there next week are expected to be minimal at this point. Chris Foster, Fox News.
So what would you do with $1.4 billion? That's tonight's Powerball jackpot.
I would take care of my family, of course. You know, maybe donate a little bit to charity and just live a good life, retire.
I'm going to help all those who help me. That's what I'm going to do.
The lump sum option before taxes would be more than $634 million. An hour to the close, the Dow's down 235 points, but the S&P and the NASDAQ are higher. Elise Brady, Fox News.
The only way to handle the weather on any hunt is to be ready for it before you go. Visit Frontier Outfitters, keeping hunters dry and comfortable for decades with rain gear by Helly Hansen, fieldwear by Cryptic, shirts, vests, coats, and pants by Browning, boots by Danner and LaCrosse, socks by Smart Wool and Fox River, covered head to toe, warm and dry. Your successful hunt starts at Frontier today. Clothing to tents, camp gear, and more. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Problem Corner on 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he who cannot be mentioned. And with me in the studio, we have Jomo Stewart from the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation and an inside connection. My brother, Joe Prox, who was on the Valdez School Board, the Valdez City Council, and we'll talk some about the opportunities in Valdez. So with that, Jomo, good morning. Oh, wait, I forgot to announce. If you want to call in, participate in the program, the number to call is 458-8255, and that's 458-TALK. Jomo, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
We haven't talked in a while about Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. Did I get that right?
You did, yes, sir.
I did. Okay, this is good. Hasn't been too long. All right. So, what can you tell us about what Fedco is up to and how the economy looks and all the things that are going on to be happy about?
Sure. Well, you know, I can prattle on and on and on about Fairbanks Economic Development. Yeah, I've got a big old soft spot for Fairbanks Economic Development and our Fairbanks economy.
And you've been with Fairbanks Economic Development for quite a while.
Going on 20 years.
20 years.
On and off. Yeah. I sometimes refer to myself as an economic development junkie. You know, I leave for spells, but I keep relapsing back. yes. But yeah, almost 20 years, it seems.
Yes. Well, they have a 12-step program for that.
No. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Yes,
working for the benefit of your community, your friends and neighbors, it's not always the most it's definitely not the most lucrative thing you can do. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not always the easiest thing you can do. But I it's soul food. It's mm-hmm. soul food. It's good stuff.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah. Well, hey, sir.
Yes.
So again, you called me last night. Clearly, you needed a body.
Right.
So I'm here. I'm not 100% prepared. But yeah, I did try to bring some information. So just a really quick update relative to FEDC. Been a very busy year, 18 months, as it always is. A lot of great stuff going on relative to the Corp. Let's see. Big highlights. What kind of one big highlight is we helped with the University of Alaska, Brittany Smart, rock star. We helped host the 2025 Alaska Defense Forum, occurred last week.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it a good event generally, but this year was the biggest year yet. Had over 300 participants come from across the state and across the nation to Fairbanks to talk about the defense industry and relations between our defense partners and our local communities,
mm-hmm.
Which are mutually supporting. They have a symbiotic relationship, our installations and the communities that host them. And so we're trying to make the most of that relationship. and find new and interesting ways of making more and better of it. And so that was great. And again, it brings people from, you know, it really is an amazing event. I mean, it brings people from Pentagon level, both uniformed services, but also the civilian leadership, people across industry, academe, the private sector. It's just an amazing event. And so again, more than 300 participants, 2-day event. One of the things I particularly appreciated this year, after many years of me asking, again, we bring a lot of bigwigs to this community relative to the defense industry. Mm-hmm. Historically, we get lots of sponsors, both public sector and private sector sponsors. But I've always wanted to find a way to see if we could maybe highlight those businesses a bit more at the event. But also, while we have all these bigwigs here, show them the goods, high quality goods and services that they could be getting from in-state businesses. Mm-hmm. And so this year, as part of the pre-event tours, we managed to arrange what we called a local supply chain tour, where we took these bigwigs to places like ESI, Equipment Services, mm-hmm. Where they make very high-quality Arctic-grade equipment and gear. Mechanical gear. We took them out to Omni Logistics out there at the airport, where they give, again, flight services both to the private sector, the airlines, but also, again, to our military partners. They've got a really nice picture out there from one time, and they must have had a weather event or maybe doing some work on the runway out at Eielson, where you had many F-35s inside of their hangar being babysat, which was really cool. We also went out to Pan Alaska to see their innovative, super insulated construction panels and materials that they're manufacturing right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. We went to Alaska Gear Company to see the extremely high quality, again, Arctic grade clothing, tents, materials that they are fabricating right here in this community and state. Finally, we went out to IGU to see the natural gas storage and distribution facility. And so it was just really great. Again, we've brought these people in. Many of these entities are already providing some of their services and goods to the DOD, but they could be doing more. Mm-hmm. An example would be, you're Fort Wainwright, and you need a bulldozer. You know, the normal run of business for government, and sometimes for the private sector too, is you just go with the low bidder. And now you spend all winter with this thing, you know, half time. It's you know, under a tarp because it either just won't work or your people are getting frozen and bloody knuckles trying to get it back to working when you could have spent just a little bit of extra money and bought an Arctic-grade, Arctic-hardened bulldozer. And yep. So, again, to see if we could bridge that gap. We also, every time you go to these kinds of events on a national basis, there's always a vendor fair. You know, there's always that big room where, again, the vendors, the people, the contractors are showing off their goods and their wares. Well, this year we actually made a place for our vendors and our sponsors in and around the room. They had the option of maybe setting up a no-person but display, again, to get more information relative to the goods and services they could provide. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully that's, again, something that we'll be able to build on in the future. Again, really highlight, we're bringing these people in. These are the kinds of people that can reach down to a colonel and say, tell your procurement officer to try to buy a little bit more Alaskan and right. to actually show off those things that they could be buying.
Yes, and that is important, the local experience that is available in Fairbanks. Equipment, ESI, Equipment Source Incorporated, make their own Arctic-grade heaters, and they have a pretty sophisticated manufacturing facility that I had no idea was
and
there.
And I had no idea.
Yes. And Pan Alaska, are they still out at Fox?
Yes.
That's an interesting process. For those who don't know, they're making, now I forgot the name, but panels. There's...
They're like integrated steel support, yes. And super insulation,
yeah.
Panels. And yes. What I want to say, you can go down to Delta Junction,
yep.
And there's actually a display. It's the Three Bears. I mean, yes. Those panels were used as part of that construction.
Yep. And when they're all done with their modular panels, what's really kind of cool is you can put the basic structure together with a 9/16 ratchet. So you could... work all winter long. You can work a 9/16 ratchet with your mittens on.
A couple of guys and gals.
It's a really good, really good design, really impressive
design. With some
pretty
basic tools and some pretty basic skills. Yeah. And then again, over at Alaska Gear, I'll put in a shameless plug. They're making bunny boots.
They're making bunny boots again.
Yeah. Yes. And so, all of us Alaskans, all us Fairbanksers were like, starting to plan our purchasing for their new super high quality bunny boots. But again, they make sleds and tents and, just again. And apparently, and they actually manufacture and supply aircraft gear again. So it was just a great tour. It was great. It was an educational experience for me as much as it was for the participants.
Well, good deal. Okay, so we're up on quarter past the hour. That means we have to take a brief break for some weather and some messages from our sponsors, but stay with us and we will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
With summer winding down, tree and brush cutting season is just ramping up. Now is the time to get those large leaning or hanging trees taken care of. Maybe it's brush along your road or drive. Get it all taken care of at once with help from the one and only Great Alaska Tree Company. Eric and his crew have been handling Alaska trees and brush for years, keeping your home and property clear from danger and trouble that lurks in the winter. So get it done now.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Call me for a free estimate or your year-round and emergency service at 978-47.
When you're tired of waiting in box line stores, experience the customer service of Denali Industrial Supply. For nearly 40 years, Denali has been helping Alaskans build Alaska. Their knowledgeable staff has the experience, knows the products, and can get you what you need. Through the end of September, come in and find the hottest deals on Milwaukee power tools. Don't wait. These red-hot Milwaukee prices are only this month, only while supplies last, and only at Denali Industrial Supply. Denali Industrial Supply, 1499 Van Horn Road. Look for the big red roof.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, and your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Whether running a marathon or to the store, we all get aches and pains. Migraines, sports injuries, spasticity can really put a hitch in your getup. Osteopathic Manual Medicine can help. Treating children to grandparents, Drs. Malcolm and Wright and McKinley Sports Medicine have over 27 years combined experience. Dr. Malcolm is Fairbanks' only board-certified sports medicine physician. Dr. Wright is double board-certified. OMM, FDM, Botox injections, and joint restorative treatments are exclusively available at one location, McKinley Orthopedic Sports Medicine and Spine.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance of rain today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 64. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Slight chance of rain. Lowest of down to about 51. Slight chance of rain tomorrow. Highs around 69. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for He Who Cannot Be Named. And with me in the studio, we have Jomo Stewart bringing us up to date on what the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation has been up to, and my brother, Joe Prox, who's going to be giving us an update on what's going on in Valdez. So, Jomo, we were talking about the resource development, defense. Defense Forum.
No, because we jumped
Alaska
on Ayoga.
Defense Forum. Yes, right.
Yeah, we had a little inside Ayoga conversation.
Side conversation. Yeah. There was a great convention down in Anchorage that I ended up going to. The Alaska Oil and Gas Association has an annual conference down in Anchorage. Same kind of deal for the resource development industries. Bring in people, was six congressmen that Representative Begich brought up to Alaska. They toured around and then stopped by, and we had a conversation with them. And from the head of Glen Farm, Glassine Development, things are looking good for Alaska. There's, you know, there's going to be, I think, still a couple of lean years as far as the state budget is concerned. But Santos is ahead of schedule. They were predicting first oil in the second, maybe third quarter of 26, and now they're ahead of schedule, and they think they're going to be coming online in the first quarter.
Yep, saw that in the papers.
That's a big deal. That puts more oil into the pipeline, which from experience makes the pipeline a lot easier to operate, particularly in the winter. And
those dollars into the state treasury.
And those dollars into the state treasury.
For yes. public goods and services.
Yes, indeed. We can be bailed out a little bit. Let's hope we don't. And actually, the really good news from my perspective is this is a gradual increase. It's a significant increase. It's really going to help out. But it's not like the avalanche of money that came into the state in the 70s. That was fun, but we bought a lot of things that turned out maybe weren't as useful as we thought. But I think we'll just be able to gradually move into that. And then Willow, Conoco is moving forward with Willow. That is scheduled, I want to say, for 2028. So looking good. With the Trump administration, they are trying to take away some of the hurdles for permitting, the NEPA. Permits. One of the things they want to, and I think it's important to emphasize, Alaska has the most rigorous environmental laws probably in the world. And we have kind of bought into that. The industry has really bought into that. And there isn't an interest in relaxing the requirements, but a big deal is to put a finite process. Jump through the hoops, make sure they're doing things right as required, but put a limit on lawsuits so that the companies can move forward with some sort of certainty.
Well, move forward with diligence, but expeditiously.
Yes. Expeditiously, yes. And it's not, well, you don't have the permit. You can get approval from whatever federal agency, but you really don't have a permit until all of the lawsuits are settled. And that can add 6, 8 years, 10 years to a project. And that's not fair to businesses, and it really holds up Alaska's economy. If we can get that straightened out, there's mining development that, you know, now takes 20 or 30 years to get going, and that can be put into production, and we're going to need that if we're going to get interested in alternative energy, windmills, solar panels, etc. That is going to take a lot of minerals that we don't have currently.
We
have the minerals, but the production is going to take several years to spool up.
The refinement and the processing.
Yes. So that was good.
Well, it is actually, yes. You know, it's bridged administrations, you know, again, this renaissance on the North Slope. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I did bring we are doing, again, as we did last year, a big analysis of the Fairbanks economy, the FNSB's economy. Mm-hmm. It's been the first time we did it last year. It's the first time we've been able to do it in some years, but we thought it was important. Mm-hmm. So we scraped together the funds, and thank you to the really great ladies over at Information Insights. They helped us out last year. They've helped us out again. Mm-hmm. But again, that flowering of exploration and development, both on the North Slope but across the interior region when it comes to hard rock minerals, has shown within our economy. It's one of those bright spots. Transportation and warehousing as an industry has been doing pretty well here in our economy. Year before last year, and then into this year. Mm-hmm. And so, again, it's a nice bright spot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Part of the wonder of being a logistical hub is that as those activities happen, again, we get the benefit of them in jobs and wages.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And as Senator Sullivan pointed out, the gas line. We've been wanting a gas line for 50 years, started on that the day after they completed the pipeline, and it just has not come together. But a lot of things are aligning up, and Senator Sullivan's recommendation is start looking at this in terms of what happens if this actually does move forward. What do you do when the dog catches the car? Are we as prepared as we could be to handle the increase in demand for labor and logistics and everything else? It's going to be quite the deal.
Quite the deal. Yep. FEDC has an interesting perspective on this stuff. You know, it, as you and I discussed, if it goes, it is going to be a boon for the state. Now, we try to dissuade people of the belief, because it's not going to happen, that this is going to be TAPS 2. The Trans-Alaska gas line is not going to be a full replication of the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline.
Right.
The value of the resource is less. Believe that the cost of construction is going to be less. The manpower required is going to be less. The time to construct is going to be less. Mm-hmm. And so across the board, it's just not going to be generating the kind of economic impacts that we had a generation and a half ago with the Trans-Alaska pipeline. Mm-hmm. That is not to say, though, that it will not be a boon for the state of Alaska, and then by degrees for Alaskan communities, depend on how this all comes together, because it will. Mm-hmm. The highest order of priority is simply to monetize the North Slope gas.
Yep.
And get those dollars into the state treasury. You know, and if that's all it was, if this thing actually came together not as a pipeline, but like as an LNG production facility going directly into, the Arctic Ocean, it would still be good for the state of Alaska.
Right.
You know, so the question is, how can we make more and more good of this resource?
Mm-hmm.
We're excited. We're all a little apprehensive, again, particularly relative to our community, having it run the main line, 30-odd miles outside of town and upwards of 45 miles from the city gate. Yep. For our natural gas system, which is there, the south side of Van Horn. We have to work that out.
Yep.
Because in the end, the greatest good, at least from, this is actually not FED policy, but Jomo Stewart's perspective, is being able to make that resource available to communities and individuals at a price that reduces and stabilizes the cost of energy, so that energy can act as a stimulator, a floor and stimulator, mm-hmm. for economic growth and development, rather than a sea anchor, as energy, the cost of energy too often has been, again, for Alaska communities, Alaska businesses, Alaska residents.
Yeah.
Because again, we can see how this oil has done great things for the state of Alaska, both as a locality and as a true state government. But again, we've seen when a high price of oil is a boon for the state treasury, but does an absolute rope-a-dope on our local economy.
Right.
Because it's driving up the cost of living and the cost of operations for our businesses.
Yep.
So again, figuring out how we can bring this all together in a way that maximizes benefits to all of us user groups, the state of Alaska, Alaska communities, Alaska residents and consumers, Alaskan businesses, that's the trick. And I know you're working on it just as hard as we are, if not more.
Yeah, it is something we have to pay attention to. We do have to be somewhat skeptical always, and identify problems that could be there and focus on, are we doing the best we can to solve those problems?
Well, if you don't mind, I'll jump in on some things because it's borne out. So a lot of what FEDC's work has been over the course of the last 3 months, 6 months, actually, it never ends. But again, doing a number of reports and assessments and a bit of work for the community at large. One example would be, we did help the community directly this last year as the project lead on the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy update.
Mm-hmm.
And as part of that process, what you end up doing is we have these nice focus groups and do surveys of the different industries.
Mm-hmm. We got the music starting. We got about 30 seconds and the satellite's going to
This will
take
be a nice
over.
Jump in. So we'll talk about SEDS and we'll talk about the results of economic reporting relative to our economy.
All right. That sounds good. So, yes, the music's playing. That means the satellite's coming overhead. It's going to take the show over in just a little bit. So stay with us for some Fox News and some weather, some reports from our sponsors, and we will be back after that. So stay with us.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM. 16.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. Several of Jeffrey Epstein's accusers gathering at the Capitol today detailing the abuse they endured at the hands of the late sex offender.
I remember crying the entire way home thinking about how I couldn't ever tell anyone about what actually happened.
Jenna Lisa Jones and other women pressuring Congress to sign a discharge petition that would bring a bill to the floor compelling the release of all the Epstein files. China showcasing advanced new weapons in the country's largest ever military parade.
Roughly 50,000 people crowded Tiananmen Square. The audience also included leaders from more than 20 countries. Most notably, it gathered Russian President Vladimir Putin, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, and Chinese President Xi Jinping, all together for the first time in one place.
Fox's Alex Hogan. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports the family of Arianne Fabrizio Colton, the Kenai woman attacked by a bear on August 26th, has released a statement following the attack and coverage of it. The statement, signed by her sister-in-law, Amy Colton, says Arianne sustained serious injuries from the attack but is receiving good medical care and showing remarkable strength. We are very grateful for the outpouring of support since Arianne's attack, the statement reads. We ask for privacy and compassion as she begins a long road to recovery, and we urge kindness in how her story is shared online. The family statement also thanks the first responders and medical teams who helped Colton after the attack. It states the best way to help her at this time would be to support or share her GoFundMe, which has raised over $88,000 as of Tuesday. The bear was believed to be a brown bear, and despite intervention from the wildlife troopers, Department of Fish and Game, and Kenai Police, it has not been found as of September 2nd.
Online at KFAR660.com.
So, you're a Batteries Plus go-to guy, but can you replace the battery in my smartphone?
Yes.
What about my employees' phones?
Yep.
Can you power my business day-to-day?
Yes.
What about my delivery truck?
Let me put it this way. If it needs a battery, we have it.
Well, that's all you had to say.
Batteries Plus, the experts in charge.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money, and the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price, all from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
If you love ink, this week's 50-50 Friday offer is a sweet deal for you. You'll get a $100 certificate from Electric Gypsy Tattoo for half price. Electric Gypsy is your go-to for quality artwork unlike anyone else's. Mark, Amy, and friends are devoted to their craft, and they really love what they do. It's always a collaboration, so bring your ideas with you and start planning your next tattoo with Electric Gypsy Tattoo. Get a $100 certificate for $50 this Friday for 50-50 Friday.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
Get your garage back, people. Great news, everybody. Independent Rental Storage has 20 and 40-foot containers to help with all your storage needs. We have two locations, one on Cushman and our new storage yard on Chena Pump. Or we can bring a container to you. With prices starting at $150 a month, Independent Rental Storage has the space you need. Call us today, 456-6595. Independent Rental Storage. Safe, secure, affordable.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
And streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. And with me in the studio, we have Jomo Stewart from Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation And my brother Joe is up from Valdez to give us an update of the results of the fish derbies, the halibut derbies, and the silver salmon derby, and other things that are going on in Valdez.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. In Valdez, in a small town, you wear a lot of hats, and I own the Prospector up here and down there. But one of the other things we do is Lori and I help put on the Valdez Fish Derbies.
Mm-hmm.
You guys probably hear her giving the Valdez Fishing Report.
Yeah.
And just a huge thank you to the number of people from Fairbanks that come down and fish in Valdez. This last weekend, I think half of Fairbanks was down was down there for it. And we're just super thankful for the impact. You know, we talk economic impact, and there's giant projects like gas lines, and there's small things like bringing your family down to fish in Valdez. So
yep.
That's huge stuff for the town. So we're really appreciative of that.
Yep. And you have quite a few charter operators.
Yep. There's, you know, locals. There's people who come in and do it. The halibut charters have been strong. The fishing was good this year. They keep getting regulated a little more and more. There's some more options for silvers. There's more people doing different types of charters, kind of sightseeing and fishing. There's going out and dropping you off for a kayak tour, nature tours, and all kinds of options that people are doing. Squid fishing. There's a squid charter
fishing.
Now.
Well, that's new.
That's a pretty new one. Yep. That's been fun. And then you can also just come fish from the bank at Allison Point. We're still going to have silvers coming in through kind of as late as you want to be standing out there fishing in the weather. But they still come in pretty good through September. And the derby and everything is done, but there's still fish to catch.
Yeah, well, good. The other thing that happens in May is the Valdez Air Show.
Valdez Fly-In, that's a different hat I wear. I'm president of the Fly-In. But we do that on Mother's Day weekend, and that's really become a nationally renowned short takeoff and landing contest, an air show. And we do a couple-day event of the contest and bring up an aerobatic performer. And we generally have a couple thousand people come out to the airport for that. And it's a great way to get the flying season started in Alaska. We like to bring the pilots and enthusiasts together.
Mm-hmm. Good. And in the winter is coming up, and Valdez doesn't completely shut down for the winter. There's heli skiing, other things in the winter.
It gets a little slower. So the driver that keeps Valdez open all year is the terminal for the pipeline. That's a huge economic engine for a town of 3,000 people, unheard of. But the tourism, the winter tourism is certainly taking off. There's high-end people will come from Switzerland and rent a helicopter for a week or two to ski Valdez. It is absolutely the world series of extreme skiing, and I think now there's 5 different outfits, and last year there were 15 helicopters flying people around
for skiing.
Yeah,
almost need a controller. We have a phone call. Ready for a phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking to?
This is Phil. I've been a long-time resident. I've been up here ever since the pipeline's first been talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But the thought just occurred to me. I saw something the other day. Frank Murkowski had proposed a railroad up to the North Slope. My thought is, why not put a railroad up there with the idea of bringing down the liquefied natural gas? At the same time, it provides a way to move material up there. And then when the time comes to demob the North Slope, there is an efficient and more economic way to bring all that material down south out of there rather than trucking.
Mm-hmm.
I understand this former railroad employee, but I understand the federal government takes great interest in subsidizing railroad projects. And so I'm thinking, there might be a way to get the federal government to chip in money to a large extent to accomplish this.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thought. And I just heard from the railroad. They are trying to complete the extension to get down to Port McKenzie, down on the Cook Inlet, as part of this gas project. If that moves forward, they're going to have to move a lot of pipe. And so they are trying to move forward on the Port McKenzie extension. Another one, the problem with railroads is they're really expensive to build, a lot of capital investment. But anyway, they're trying to move forward on that, and there is some interest. The question is, how can you line up the funding, and can you get everything together by the time the pipe shows up and do what you're supposed to do? And they're also trying to extend the railroad from Nenana up to Livingood. And that's definitely not all the way to the North Slope, but that would help, too, to cut down the freight. You know, right now you have to drop it off in the middle of Fairbanks, wait for the light at Johansson, and head north. And some of the most hazardous driving on the whole haul road is between here and Livingood. So that would get rid of that. Hopefully that is a step in the right direction.
Harold Hine noted it 20 years ago as one of his... maybe regret is a strong word, mm-hmm. but that, yes, we should have put a railroad in, not just the haul road up to the North Slope.
Yeah.
And at FEDC, I mean, we've been advocating really in tandem, a pair. Yes, the Southern Intertie or down to Point McKenzie, mm-hmm. but yes, the Northern Rail extension out to Fort Greeley at least, you know, Delta Junction, to help maybe get some of this military traffic off the road.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And now some of the increased mining traffic, which we appreciate. I mean, we appreciate the economic activity, but
that would really be a boon for the Ambler project as well.
And actually, yeah, if I had my druthers, we would do, at a minimum, we would do stub outs of the railroad to Delta Junction.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, to the head road of the Ambler Road. Proposed Ambler Road mining district, and maybe even out to Minto, just so we would have that that transloading capacity for heavy haulage.
Right. Yeah. So, yes, I think there are some opportunities there, maybe not tomorrow, but I think Alaska is looking for several good decades, and one thing leads to another. Yep. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. Has the route already been permitted for the gas line?
Yes, the route. They have the route, the right-of-way, if you will, and the permits in line. I think they still have some right-of-way purchases. Probably there's some private land holdings between Nenana and Wasilla that they have to straighten out, but that is pretty much ready to go. And
will it come across the Yukon River Bridge?
No, not in this current plan. No, it would be, well, there's two possibilities. The big one, easiest to do, is to complete. There's like 35 miles or something like that of rail that they have to install the rails, and that's a project in itself. And then the second part of that would be going from Nenana, but just up to Livingood. There are no plans at this point. Getting up the Yukon River is the much
pipe.
More of a challenge.
Well, the
pipeline crossing.
Well, I'm talking about the gas line.
Oh, the gas line. Sorry, yes. Well, the plan is to tunnel under the Yukon River. That'll be interesting to watch. Yeah.
In fact, a lot of the line was supposed to be buried.
The whole thing, the plan would be to bury it because gas cools as it goes down the pipe, and so you have kind of a reverse problem in some cases, where if it freezes more ground, you get a bigger frost bulb, it can jack the pipe out of the ground. Whereas with the pipeline, the problem was with the pipe sinking into the ground because it melted permafrost. And that's it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, where would it cross the Yukon?
Right now, it's give or take about half a mile downstream from the bridge. as I recall looking at the plan, where, you know, it goes after downstream from the bridge, there's kind of an S-turn in the river.
Right.
And that's, they're looking for the narrowest point and then where you can approach it and get the pipe back out of the river. You can't just go out of the river up a steep hill. You have to have a landing on both sides. But I think it's about half mile down from the Yukon River Bridge.
Oh, okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, hey, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you for calling. And with that, we are at a quarter to the hour, so we've got to take a break to get some words from our sponsors. And keep in mind that they are the folks, the sponsors are the folks that make this program possible. So stop in, even if you're not ready to buy, stop in and see what they have to offer and tell them you heard about it on KFAR's Problem Corner. Stick with us. We will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Give it to me straight, Doc. I can handle it. Are you going to have to remove the whole thing?
Actually, I'll have your broken window fixed in no time. At Glass Doctor, we can handle it all, even custom glass.
Oh, thanks, Doc. You're a real lifesaver.
The doctor is in. Glass Doctor is on call for fast, full-service residential glass repair, replacement, and installation. Visit glassdoctor.com to make an appointment.
Call the Glass Doctor. We fix your pains. Oh, yeah.
A neighborly company.
The Fairbanks Animal Shelter Fund provides supplemental assistance for medical and other services not included in the budget at the Fairbanks Animal Shelter. The fund provides veterinary care for injured and sick animals who might otherwise be euthanized so that they may be adopted into loving forever homes. The fund also provides food, supplies, and comfort items for foster homes who are housing animals with ongoing medical needs. Visit FairbanksAnimalShelterFund.org to find out how you can help. This message brought to you by the radio station at 529 Fifth Avenue.
70 hours. That's the average time between each gun suicide in Alaska. That's less than 3 days. Help more Alaskans live longer by keeping your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Storing guns safely is an important way to help prevent deaths of children, teens, or anyone in a difficult situation. If you or someone you know is in crisis, contact the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by calling or texting 988. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Division of Behavioral Health, aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a slight chance of rain. Highs level off around 64. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance of rain tonight. Lows level off around 51. Overcast skies. Slight chance for rain tomorrow. Highs level off around 69. Mainly cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
And streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner, KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he whom we cannot mention. And with me is Jomo Stewart from FEDC and my brother Joe from Valdez. And if you want to join the program, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And Joe, we were talking Valdez. Did we cover winter activities where we left off?
Well, that the big one is skiing. Mm-hmm. That's really developed as an industry down there. And there's all levels. There's, you can pay by the run or charter that helicopter for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your credit card. But there's a lot of other snow machinings, huge down there,
mm-hmm.
coming down. And Valdez, what makes Valdez great is being maritime, the snow is heavy, and so it sticks to faces that you would never think of being on, somewhere in Colorado or something like that. You'd be worried mm-hmm. about avalanches, and they're worried about avalanches, but anyway, they can ski those faces and that kind of stuff. So that's become a big deal, and lots of people coming down all the way for that. So there's lots of things going on in Valdez. It's a great little community, and like I say, we're just really thankful for the Fairbanks folks that come down and have a good time too.
Mm-hmm. And so you can drive down, hire a guide for a snow machine trip, or is it kind of mapped out for those of us who really aren't familiar with the area?
Well, no, you would probably want someone who's been there to bring you along. There is a little bit of a snow machine rental, but you can get yourself the snow machines today will climb much higher and much steeper than anything you want to ride on.
Mm-hmm.
So you do want to have some knowledge down there of the area. There's lots of places too. It's not all cliff diving. There's beautiful spots to go for, to get up on some glaciers and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So a lot of family stuff. They're doing the hill climb has been a big event that they do down there in April.
Mm-hmm.
Do that right up in the pass.
Mm-hmm. Used to be fun. Good run from top of Thompson Pass down to the bottom on, I'll call it the south side. Do you need a car to get back up, or have they put in a
The road run. That's our, it's about a 2,000-foot run, actually. And you go up the hairpin turn right below the pass and ski off the side and hitchhike back to the top. Kids do that a lot. And, a lot of people grow up skiing. That's their first time they've skied. Valdez does have a little rope tow now. For people who really want to learn, there's a little rope tow in town.
Yeah, that's good. That is a good, handy ski area.
Oh,
and if you can hitchhike, that's even better.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. But do kind of check it out, because it is something you can get yourself in trouble, which you can do anywhere if you put a little effort into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord knows, a trip to Valdez is a wonder. It's just gorgeous down there.
Yep.
I drive it... I bet I've driven it 500 times for the store, and it is always different. Mm-hmm. I find the trip to Anchorage boring. they've taken out the turns, and there's tall trees, and it's a spectacular drive. You get a different view all the way down that Rainbow Ridge area,
mm-hmm.
and then seeing the Wrangells. The last 60 miles, if you haven't driven the last 60 miles into Valdez, I'll put that drive up with anything.
Yes.
Coming over Thompson Pass, through Keystone Canyon.
Yep.
There's lots of beautiful places, but that's right at the top.
Yeah, and the changes from going through the Alaska Range is one thing, then going over Thompson Pass, that's quite a trip, and then you don't go through the tunnel anymore, but going through Keystone Canyon, boom, you're into rainforest, just like that.
Right. Waterfall world.
Waterfall. And that's really beautiful in the winter as well, when Bridal Veil and Horseshoe Falls freeze over.
Well, that's another one I forgot about, is the temperature in Valdez is perfect for ice climbing. The ice, of course, freezes, but mm-hmm. it is not so cold that it gets brittle. It stays elastic. And people come from all over to ice climb because the access is so good. You can get out of your car and go ice climb.
Yep.
And there's not a lot of places that that you can do that. They've got a little festival going, and Valdez has a ton of events. We do events pretty well.
Yep.
Lots of activities.
It's really nice to hear that Valdez is experiencing the winter tourism increases like we have. We always hear mm-hmm. about, or have long heard about, the increase in winter tourism here. It's nice that it's not just here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'd be great to do more cooperative stuff. The people coming for the Northern Lights, how they've built that up here is fantastic. Dog sledding and all of that stuff, and we just take it for granted, right? We ho-hum, Northern Lights, and that's a lifetime trip for someone.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's another guest I need to have on the program is Fairbanks Visitors Association. We're getting as many, give or take, tourists, if you will, in the off season. The normal season is
there really isn't an off season.
June,
anymore.
No, there isn't. Yeah, from middle of April till 1st of September, everybody goes back to school. But between September and April, tourism visitors have really increased, and it's really been a boon for the whole community. People stay longer. Take advantage. Winter gear has gotten so much better that it's easy to do, and there's a lot of room. You can take 10,000 people and spread them around and not see anybody. It's
great impact. People can come. You know, it's nice if they ride a bus. However you come, visit, that's all mm-hmm. good. However you get here, great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, riding a bus versus staying here for a week and participating in the different events and going out to the restaurants and staying at a hotel or a B&B, shopping in the stores. In Valdez, we get the same thing, that it's the people who come for a week, you know, versus somebody, and again, I don't care how you come, but, you know, get off the cruise ship and you're there for 2 hours versus you're there for a week and you're really part of the town.
Yes.
It's very fun.
Right. And Valdez is very accommodating to tourists, as is Fairbanks. It's really great. It's just fun.
Well, what a low impact industry.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yes. Yes. Yep. And I was at the 75th anniversary for Binkley's Riverboat, and he mentioned, and then I thought about this, how many people have paid for their college education by working in the visitor industry during the summer? It's just really been a good thing. Way back in the day, I used to fry lots of blueberry donuts for
applesauce donuts. Yes. We did dozens, 80 dozen today. Yeah.
Yes, right. Yeah. And I was the world's best donut fryer. I was good. But no, that's really good.
Well, and it's also a really great reminder of, it helps remind me whenever I'm talking to a tourist is, you know, mm-hmm. what's good in town, what's fun. It helps remind you of the wonders of your own local community and local area.
Yep.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good jobs that, you know, we grew up in a bakery and restaurant, and you learn how to deal with people. You meet all kinds of fascinating people, and it's a good starting job for, if you go on to something else, that experience of customer service is really important. And that's kind of coming back, too. We had a period there where there was kind of a lull, but good restaurants, good place to get out and enjoy your community, invite your friends up, invite them up for the winter. World-class, the ice carving festival in early March. Weather is great up here. Sometimes, it gets a little cold, but it warms up during the day, and that is just a fantastic event, and we've got a lot to offer people. So, looks like we've got about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
Jomo, do you have some closing thoughts here?
Well, honestly, I thought we would actually get into problems because mentioned, well, I don't want to call it problems. You mentioned, the gas line and would we be ready?
Mm-hmm.
And so I might have to come back on if you'll have me. Yes, I think we will be ready. As ready as you'll ever be. It's like being mm-hmm. a parent. You know, as ready as you ever think you are, you're never quite ready enough, but you're always a bit more ready than you thought you might be. I think about things that are cutting across all industries, things like the challenges relative to housing, finding workforce, competent workforce, and retaining them, healthcare, childcare. So again, but they're cutting across industries. We do benefit from the fact that so many of the problems we're facing or challenges we're facing are being faced by communities all across the country, let alone the state. So we're not disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. It's just we need to work them out if we're going to make the most of the opportunities that are coming our way.
Step up to the challenge.
That's right.
Yes.
And then finally, I just want to let everybody know, we've been doing a lot of great work at FEDC. Again, we helped with the community's comprehensive economic development strategy update. We did a big business climate survey at the top of the year. We have our big economic report coming out. And so the first two I mentioned are already on our website at Fairbanks Economic Development. You can just Google FEDC Fairbanks. And then, again, the latest economic report should be out by the top of next week. And so if you want to have some a good look macro level mm-hmm. relative to our economy, that'll be a place for you to go.
Yeah. Well, good. And Joe?
No, just thank you for having me on. And Fairbanksans, when you get down to Valdez, stop in, say hello. It's really nice to hear Fairbanks reaching out to the industry and working with the industry. Back from my council days and Valdez history, that's a week-long show on its own of of that, but it's nice to see people proactively working and wanting the development.
All right. And I think that takes us to the end. We'll be back on, well, tomorrow is for firearms. We'll be back Friday. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
A tug of war intensifies over the Jeffrey Epstein files. Lisa Brady, Fox News, says accusers of the late sex offender visit Capitol Hill.
They want all the documents released without redactions. An attorney for the victims, Bradley Edwards, says people will, quote, be appalled.